All right, welcome back to Sheep Farm. We're doing a podcast tonight. I've got our Chris back. He's back from Berlin. He's been flying over Dresden.
See your Schmuggenheisen.
Yeah. And we've got a returning guest. I think he's been on, it might be fourth time, something like that. Matt Landman, joining us from the good old US. Good evening.
Hello, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. No doubt we'll get you swearing in Yorkshire. So not only can you swear in English now, you better swear in Yorkshire. That's quite a dialect, is that, as you can tell by our accents. A lot of people don't get our irony. You're probably one of the only Americans that get our sarcasm and things like that. Some people,
oh, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Some people, you probably study more that type of humor, but we have a few Americans on and they look at me like I'm being serious, or Chris like he's being serious. Don't they, Chris?
Yeah, sometimes it goes right over everyone's
right head. Over their heads. We're on a podcast with Crow, weren't we? A few months ago with Mark Devlin, and we were talking and Crow got into summit, and I said summit, which I thought were funny, but it just went like that. Okay. So before we start, Matt, where can people get hold of you?
Well, thank you. I appreciate you starting off the show like that. And I will say that Americans are getting more and more sensitive and we need to break down those walls for sure. I mean, it's when I grew up in the Washington DC area and we called it politically correct PC. Now PC has gotten so on steroids.
NPC now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good one. And so like, I love the humor from, you know, your side of the pond and I try to take it home. And I try to explain it to my friends and even my girlfriend. And one of them, I was trying to explain to my girlfriend the other day, taking the piss. Right. Yeah. And she couldn't get it. I was like, no, it means like, you know, you're messing with someone, like you're taking the piss, you know?
In Yorkshire, right? We say taking the piss, but we say tech in the piss. In fact, we say even taking piss. Yeah, that's what we say. Taking piss.
What does it mean? Can you use it in a sentence?
Are you taking the piss out of me?
that's a great explanation.
Yeah. Straight to the point. And that's what Yorkshire people are known for. You're taking the piss out of me. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like taking out the energy, the enthusiasm or something like that. Right. Yeah. Sucking wind out of the. Yeah. Yeah, we can refer to that later in activism. It's really important. So my name is Matt Landman and I'm on Facebook. I'm actually on every platform you can find. If you're on Instagram, I have actual underscore activists and actualactivists.com. I love my website. Please take a look. I even got a shop there. I've also got an EMF protection clothing line, Spero, S-P-E-R-O. It's a Latin word for hope. And I've got this ever, always living, everlasting, forever, lifetime coupon code on there, Sheep Farm. So if you want to check out the EMF protection clothing line now or Christmas or whenever, there's always going to be a coupon code for anybody. Just Sheep Farm. It'll help you on your shipping and whatnot. And you can email me, frankenskies@gmail.com and frankenskies, the movie. I have that. So frankenskies.com, frankenskies2.com for the sequel, working on that as well. And please don't be a stranger. Thank you.
Love it. But I mean, Frankenskies is like one of those films that I look back on a few years ago. And I watched quite a few times. I don't know, we talked about that, Chris. It's strange, isn't it, that we meet up a couple of years after, you know, over the last couple of years, when in reality we've been sort of known your work for years. That's what's great about all this stuff, meeting people that you sort of look up to. I remember even seeing you on podcasts and stuff like that. But anyway, that's another story.
I think Matt was one of the weird ones where I'd actually heard one of your podcasts, because we had a few of these when we first started, Matt. And then... Mm-hmm. I was mentioned you, and then somehow you got in touch with Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you heard me maybe on either Crow or the Higher Side Chats.
Both.
2016, I was promoting Global Chemtrail Conference, and I was doing conferences on geoengineering.
That's
the movie. The movie came out in 2017, and as I pushed that movie around, I went on a lot of shows. And what's wild, and I still can't fathom, is you do these shows, and you guys, you put them out there, and then once they're released, you're like, all right, sweet.
Move on
with your life, right? Yeah. Well, people listen and watch them for years and years and years. Like when I came out with Frankenskies, I was like, all right, it's 2017. This is the year for my movie. Little did I know that like I mean, I don't even know what now. It's gotten more momentum than ever. But as the world continues to show its evilness, people come circling back and like, oh, I need to watch that movie. Have you heard of Franken's Guys? And we even got a Hurricane Frank recently. I hope it did some damage so I can include it in the next movie. I know that's kind of cynical, but yeah, I appreciate you all. And it's activism is like just a one day at a time journey. And you put that effort out there and it does, it circles back and you do make these friends and make these changes. And it's beautiful. I'll tell a quick story. I went to a reggae concert 1 year ago and I was giving out my DVDs. I even slipped my DVDs into people's like tents and vendors. And I was just getting Franken's Guys out there. Cause it's like, that's what I do at festivals is you go to the vendors. And the vendors are usually pretty cool because they're entrepreneurs and they, you know, don't pay the IRS. They're just cool people. Vendors at festivals, they're cool. So yeah. You go up to them and 9 times out of 10, they're excited about you making a movie about chemtrails. They're excited to meet me. And I share them my movie. I give them my movie for free. So here I went to this same reggae festival exactly 1 year later. And I got my backpack with DVDs and I'm like, yeah, whatever I do. It's just, I'm trying to get the word out and I'm an activist, yeah, but it's sometimes the world takes the piss out of my energy.
I like it.
My activism, you know, I can't always be this, what do you call it? Bunny with that, whatever. I can't always be bushy tailed and blue, rosy eyes and everything. Like the world is a vampire. So every single day I'm trying to get the word out. But it ain't easy when people are wearing masks for 3 years in a row and you're trying to tell them to look up and they can't even look right at their faces. It's just, it's wild. So I was at this festival the other day, last weekend, and I go up to the vendors and almost everyone remembered my movie from last year. This one guy was like, did you sneak a movie into my like stuff? Cause I got home to like another state and I was unloading all my things and there was your movie. And he was like, I refused to put it into my DVD player cause I thought it would like hijack my computer as like some virus or something. But he's like I've been looking at it for a year straight and I've been curious. And now that I see it's you and I know it's you, I'm gonna go home and watch it. And then I met someone else who I had handed a flyer to 8 years ago in another state. And they're like, oh, are you that guy, the chemtrail guy? And I was like, what, really? And they said, when I went to New Mexico, another state, you know, they had talked to these Native Americans and their medicine was changing because the UV was changing because the chemtrails and people were noticing and waking up and they didn't have a reference point. And she was like, actually, I do have a reference point, Franken's Guys, this guy. So you plant these little seeds and you do this work and you don't really realize how much influence it has or really what you're doing. You're kind of just following your instincts and the universe and your gut and God, especially with Franken's Guys. I had no idea what I was doing. And now today people are like, Matt, could it be possible that the winds were engineered in Maui? And I'm like, yo, go watch my movie. Yeah. And it's got more traction now than ever. And so it's a beautiful thing. And I encourage anyone to take a look at Franken's Guys. It's all over the internet. I could get a DVD in your living room as well. And I'm even making newer versions of it. I've got a DVD that I'm creating right now that's got a menu, like a real DVD, yo guys. It's got a menu and you can do Spanish and you can pick other presentations that I've done and stuff like that. But it's just a one day at a time thing. As you guys know, activism is just one step. And people start to notice as you put your fruits out there.
It's like any art form though, Matt. You got to lay it out there. And when you're doing it, you're not going to see any fruition for if it's a drawing or a music or a podcast that even you're not going to see any fruition for 6 months, a year, maybe two, might be even 10 years. And then
we expect things to happen so fast. Yeah. We want things to happen fast because we are actually light beings, which light is really fast. And we've been slowed down to incarnate into physicality so that we can work out karma here or whatever, fight Satan, fight the New World Order, take down.
Same thing.
Schwab, you know? Yeah, right? You know, whatever we're here to do, because the world's looking weird and sticky. But at the end of the day, we expect and we want and we think and we feel like things are going to happen really fast. Like we want to manifest things quickly, but that's not the world we're in. Things are slowed down in the vibration of physical matter, like literally. So we put our seeds out there. We trust, we believe, we keep doing that work. I've been hanging out with a 3-year-old recently and it's been making me feel really grounded and seeing the kind of work that you do in that world. You put in the work and they don't grow up overnight, man. They're there and the next day. They want to play again the next morning. Like you got to save your energy. It's a long task. And as is bringing the truth to people, I've noticed a lot when I do my flyers and activism and whatnot, it's like the fourth time people hear it. It's not even the second or third. Like, people will hear it from someone, hear it from someone, hear it from someone. And then you deliver it again in a grounded fashion. You got to be respecting the truth, delivering it with integrity, meet people where they're at, know how to meet them at their level. This is all very important stuff to, as an activist and a human nowadays, whatever, just honoring the truth and being grounded. There's a lot of stuff going around right now that we can talk about that's not grounded. But you meet them at their level the fourth time, and this light bulb goes off in there. You can see it. And they're like, I've actually heard about this a few different times. You say they're dimming the sun, geoengineering. You know, I have been looking up, and I'm going to start to look up more. You got a movie? Really? You know, and it takes that effort, and someone's got to do it. So it might as well be us, especially if we know the truth.
Yeah. Well, but Frankenskies, I know you said you didn't know what you were doing, but when you watch that, and I did watch it recently, I think after the last time we spoke, I watch it every now and again just to catch up again, you know. But with the way you put it together through obviously the years, and I know from when I do my research and present mine, that it's not an easy thing because you go through tons of research to get to that whatever hour and a half, 2 hour film, don't you? And so watching it is very easy to watch, is what I'm trying to say. For it's good if you know a lot about chemtrailing, and it's also good if you know nothing about it. That's what makes Frankenskies good. You know, it's there for a bigger audience.
Thank you. And that was the goal. The timeline, the chronology of it all, showing the chronological timeline of weather engineering. And when the movie starts off in the 1920s, I wasn't alive then. This isn't my footage. I'm not there being like, la-ti-da, look at this, believe how I see the world. This is showing you U.S. Air Force military footage of them saying, this is how we sharpened our tools to get to where we're at today. Mm-hmm. So just about anybody can watch the first 15 minutes. And if you believe that the government is on your side and you trust them, after you watch Frankenskies for 20 minutes or 15 minutes, that whole narrative of trusting the government, the movie will take the piss out of that narrative because literally they put their feet in their mouth. It's like very obvious. Farmers in the 60s and 70s knew that you could seed clouds and make it rain, and it was engineering the weather was common knowledge, but now that's all been swept under the rug, and they use it as a means for what? This fear campaign of global warming and Greta and climate change, and that's, you know, getting us on some slippery slope that we have to talk about, leading to smart 15-minute cities and these climate lockdowns, which we may end up witnessing firsthand in the near future. And all of this, you know, cameras up, social credit system, dystopia, but it all centers around being afraid of the weather because, you know, it wasn't hot last summer, the summer before. It's never been hot in the summer, right? Yeah. Now it's getting hot, but it's never been hot before. But so we need to be really worried.
They've made us, again, the iPhone has made everybody fixated by how hot things are and the constant, it's getting hotter, hotter, hotter. But without the iPhone, well, without a phone, you would not be able to check it. When I used to go on holiday in the 80s, when I was 17, 18, I didn't care what temperature was. I was just going with my mates to have a good time. You didn't care. We're going to Greece or wherever. Nobody cared. You know, it was red hot. There were heat waves. I remember it. And it was just as hot as it is now when you go out there. So it's even true. If it is 1 degree hotter, even if, which it isn't, even if it is, what fucking difference is that going to make? It's not going to set everything on fire.
If it is hotter, it's because they're geoengineering it and they're chemtrailing and they're trapping in heat. They're spraying aluminum particles and then microwaving them with ground-based ionospheric heater, NEXRAD, HARP technology. They're creating heat waves and then saying, oh, look, it's hot. But I don't see it being any hotter. I mean, we're experiencing the same exact summers as we always have.
Do you think their plan's actually working, Matt? Because the last couple of years, the last two or three years, it's like, and I've just been to Berlin, and it was like that day. It was like a... It feels to me, and this is just only instinctively, like there's a shield over the sun, like you say, but it's just holding in the heat and it's just muggy and almost like an Asian climate,
like a Thai climate type thing.
Yeah, you know, when you get heavy. High humidity. Yeah, we never had humidity in England, really, did we?
No.
And it feels humid and it's hot, but there's no sun, but it's just muggy and heavy.
Yeah, I was in Croatia. Sky was a beautiful blue. They're obviously not doing that much there. You could tell there's, because even when on a clear day in England, there's still like a film. You can see like a white film that's gone for higher up. But in Croatia, it was just clear blue. Right. Distinctively
Beautiful.
different. Absolutely distinctive, different. Now, I'm sure they'll get battered at some point, but like the COVID nonsense, it's like the hammering the European and the ex Commonwealth type countries, you know, including America, with all this stuff. They seem to be the ones that they're battering. The ones that we thought we let's face it, we thought it were the third world countries that were going to get battered more than us, but in reality, we're getting it probably worse now. Especially the mental torture as well.
Yeah, we have the infrastructure to crank up the frequencies, and we've laid out all this 5G and all that stuff. In other countries, they still have 3G phones, and you know, they're not getting blasted as much, and they don't have the you know, Air Force and the infrastructure to be able to spray them as bad as we get it. You know, a lot of people move to Costa Rica and Mexico and send me photos and say it's so much better. To answer your question, Chris, I've witnessed what you've witnessed. It's like not a real feeling heat. It feels like muggy, like you're in a warehouse that has no airflow. And when they do that and they trap in the heat, the UVs get messed up because the light's going through a layer of metal. So the plants get tweaked out, and that's something to note. And then they do make their little heat waves. Is it working? I mean, I think there's always a backlash. Every time they mess with it, nature steps in. And people are slowly waking up. I don't know what the end goal is. I'm starting to come to this thought that maybe they want people to wake up, and they want another half of the population and not, so that we can have like this big civil kind of unrest, like war thing, because it's getting very absurd. It's total bollocks when I go to the freaking grocery store and people are wearing masks. Like, if they get to the point that,
Still.
He's slowly starting over here as well, Dom.
It's starting up, but they've been doing it the whole time. The people that have been wearing it the whole time, those people have become radical, right? Yeah. And they'll parrot and repeat whatever the next narrative is. And I want to say we're all on the same page and we're all one and stuff like that, but I don't want to say that they're my enemy, but when they're parroting this narrative that includes like taking away my freedoms to breathe and whatnot, they're creating this little sect of society that they can kind of do anything they want with, like a puppet. So I want to say something really quick, Dom. You mentioned Apple and the phones and whatnot, and I learned something new about the phones recently that I really want to just divulge to you guys. It's fascinating. So Apple has this like bite out of it, the logo, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, temptation. Right. And what did temptation do in the story of, you know, the garden? Temptation took away so much from humanity. It was like they lost so much because of Adam or Eve, whatever.
Lost the Garden of Eden. Yeah.
She was tempted. Right. And so Apple is disclosing slowly. They even say it in the phone, like, don't put this thing up to your head. It's got radiation. And everyone knows that it's emitting a lot of radiation. There was a whole campaign, but in fear that 5G was killer and bad and stuff like that, but still people are getting their 5G phones and the radiations are getting turned up. I'm on version like 6 of my phone bags now. I've had to make 2 layers of copper and a layer of silver, 3 layers of metal to make these blackout phone bags because the phones just keep getting turned up and people are getting more and more radiation because the carrier wave that the signals carried on is getting smaller and smaller and it's being able to penetrate a lot. It can't go as far, but it's penetrating these phone bags, penetrating a lot. So what I learned is the 5G system, once it's fully deployed and it's literally like a millimeter size carrier wave and all the Apple phones, it's mainly Apple that has in the United States, at least they have the high band 5G carrier wave. That's like the smallest, most impactful one. The other carriers that are not Apple. So it's Verizon is our carrier. And then they have the Apple iPhone. And it's the most popular and everyone has the iPhone and they all communicate with each other to make this mesh signal. So here's the icing or the kicker. So we're wondering like, what is the big agenda? So I've done these like weird meditations where I try to go into this boardroom, you guys, of evil scumbags that sit down and they're like, agenda 2050, here's what we want to do. Cause you got to see where they're coming from, right? They have an agenda and they want to get from A to Z, but how could they possibly do that? It's like when I heard about transhumanism in 2005, I was like, how could they possibly do that? Now I'm starting to see the writing on the wall. You lock them in their home for years at a time and they have no choice but to get into the metaverse because they can't play soccer outside. They might as well go in the metaverse and make some friends. You know what I mean? So the Apple, the bite out of the Apple is this temptation to have this technology put it in your back pocket, put it in your bra, put it in your back pocket near your reproductive organs. And as the carrier wave gets smaller and smaller, smaller, it's designed, you guys, to decimate reproductive organs. And here's what it does. So when a girl, a female, when a woman is being developed, a baby girl, she has eggs in her ovaries. These eggs are really small. They're really small because eggs are really small. And when you're of age and you release your egg during your cycle, if a little teeny little sperm comes and hits the egg, this little teeny sperm hits the egg and makes the egg like vibrate or whatever because the sperm is hitting it, the egg goes hard. So no other sperms can get in. That's how the reproductive organs work, right? So this hardening of an egg is a natural process when a little spermie hits the eggs. They're slowly making the carrier wave frequency so small that the eggs are going to think it's getting hit with sperms. So these children, as they're growing up in this 5G environment, they're getting bombarded with these carrier waves that go in and hit their eggs with a certain small size. And then when they get of age, they're all going to have hard eggs and they're not going to be able to reproduce. And there's going to be like this insane wave of like 80, 90% infertility for the in the next generation. So when the kids now get to be like 16 years old, all of a sudden we're going to realize what that chunk of the apple bite really was.
They've already announced that, Matt, recently in a lot of news in England, not about America, literally saying by 2050, it's going to be down to zero. The sperm count, they're saying the sperm count, but they mean the reproduction. But and also on that, I think we've talked about this, Tom. I read an article about the Apple logo. This was quite funny because it's obviously the Adam and Eve apple, but they went through a million different versions as to why it looks like that, and none of them said about Adam and Eve. like, oh, it looked too much like a cherry, so we took a bite out of it. It looked like this, da da da. None of them mentioned Adam and Eve. You're like, it couldn't be any more obvious as that it's a sign of temptation, like you said.
Well, whatever this thing is happening now, I mean, there's several things, obviously, operations in play, but obviously one of them, the eugenics or the transhuman thing. One's a population cull. Those are the two main things. And you've got the Apple iPhone affecting reproductive organs, and also you've got the jabs affecting reproduction. They know they're going to sterilizing people. They know that the birth rates are dropping. The replacement rates have fallen through the floor in America, in Canada, all over Europe, in China, in Japan, even in Thailand. They've fallen through the floor. These are like below the replacement rate. So it's all, whatever operation was running, it was already working. This has just supercharged it all.
Yeah, and they've got the incubators ready to go.
The artificial wombs.
Yeah,
also they're talking
really
about
the Brave New World wombs.
Yeah.
Also, they've done a womb transplant. They've just done a womb transplant.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's
so now, and someone was identifying as whatever a cat this week can now have a womb fitted, or potentially at some point.
Oh wow. Oh, so those transhuman robots will have wombs eventually.
Yeah,
that will appear in the news in the past week.
The boys from Brazil. Mm-hmm. But how many of these clones are actually out there? And how many have they made? We were talking about this earlier, Chris, weren't we? The bionic man type character, where I had a video. I put some videos on actually to watch, and we'll just comment on them as we're watching them. But where they took a rat's head off, and we're talking about something totally different. And took another rat's head off and put one of them together, like a brown rat and a white rat, and used graphene oxide to stitch them together. Yeah, and then they cut the spine of another mouse and then used graphene, which is in the jabs, to seal it together. And it was just walking around normally after a few days, this doctor said. So, I mean, what is actually happening, you know, with these jabs that they're injecting?
Remember that film?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But talking about the fires, a lady we've interviewed a few times, Shannon Rowan, yeah, she's had to escape she lives in California. She's an author, and she's had to escape basically with her other half and her cats, and her house has burnt down. I mean, she's into all the stuff we're into. So anyway, if you're listening, Shannon, which I don't think you will be at the moment, our thoughts go out to you and everybody else concerned, because, I mean, they're hitting everybody with these fires. Well, not everybody, but these certain areas that seem to be areas where they're trying to concentrate these smart cities at.
Yes, let's talk about that. And thank you for the transition out of the weird rats
No, because
cut
I like that
up.
one, to be honest with you.
No, it's great.
We may circle back around and come back to that one.
Let's do it. And I want to say, you're not fat, bro. You're not fat at all. You look great. And I just wanted to, I
That's the
think that was
irony.
cool.
That's the irony. Yeah.
You just call him fatty again, did I?
Yeah, you
Didn't
called
even
me fatty
realize
by
it.
accident.
I didn't even realize I did it.
I think you do it by accident, Chris, because you really
It's not
care.
by accident.
No, I just wanted to say that before the show was over. So, firstly, and the fires, that's a great discussion. We can talk about that for a long time. And
Let's do it.
I'm really knowledgeable, weirdly, about the fires. I've witnessed these things firsthand now in my community. And I'm getting some interviews for my sequel, Frankenskies 2, Climate Chains, because the fires.
Oh, I like that one. I like that.
Thank
Climate
you.
change. Yeah, I
Yeah,
like that.
the fires play a very pivotal role in fear,
Yeah.
scaring the crap out of everyone into believing that the climate's gotten so crazy that a fire could take out your house at any day. And then that's the problem, reaction, solution. The solution being, to put you in a smart city where you can be safe from trees because trees are so evil. But let's just back up. Let's back up just for a second.
Those non-burning
So,
trees are evil.
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's just back up for one second. So we're talking about eugenics and transhumanism, and it's getting really weird and dark. And if you look at transhumanism from an interesting spiritual perspective, it's like they want to create, like this Agenda 2050 is to create this chaos and fear on Earth to the extent that people are transferring their consciousness into cyborgs because your original body can't reproduce, and then you're what, transplanting wombs. And you can be anything you want to be, and people live forever. And the whole system of procreation and normality of humans and love and hearts and human nature and spirit, it all kind of falls apart. To me, this is like literally like Satan trying to create his realm so that he can have his own body and be and have demons' consciousnesses transferred into transhuman. Whatever. It's weird and it's dark, but everybody has to listen to what I say next. Why is all this happening? Why is the water fluoridated? Why are they trying to put plastic in all your clothing and poison your kids and set up a 5G tower out front of your house and jab you up with this and that and cut off the head of the freaking rat
Rat,
so that it can walk with the graphene and all this and make zombies everywhere? Why? Why would they drought and make all this chaos and literally poison our foods and all this stuff? Why, 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 why? It's because the they, don't let that word trigger you, the they, the baddies, okay, there's the baddies, and we're not one of them. They're terrified of us, of each and every single one of us. Yes, you, the listener right now, me, Dom, Chris, everybody, every single human being with a with blood pumping through their hearts and a soul, that they don't have a soul and they are scared shitless. They're totally shitting their pants. They're scared to death of us, of our capabilities, of our spiritual potential, of our resonance, of us getting on track with our, destiny. So that's why. So make it not this victimhood, like, oh my God, they're out to get me. Make it empowering and then realize that you're here to buck that. You're not one of the baddies. You're not one of the victims. You're one of the ones that bring forward the truth, and you have this torch, and you're not going to be, I'm trying to think of good British words. You're not going to be a little bitch about it. You're going to carry this torch forward and honor it and not be ridden in fear because that's for everyone else. That's the program. They get to be in that frequency of fear and you get to honor the flip side of that, which is truth, which is love, which is honoring all these things in a certain way. So with that said, the fires, they're interesting and they're scary, but also truth can bring you some empowerment here. Now, we've got with the fires, we've got, were you going to play a video? Oh, mouse heads. Let's see it.
I might see them. I might show the mouse a mouse video,
Yeah,
and
let's
then
do
we'll talk about fires because that's
it.
pretty deep stuff. I've got some
Yeah.
videos on the fires and the Indian moon landing as well. I've got the video to talk about on that one.
Let's talk about the men
Why are you laughing at the
moon
Indian moon landing, guys?
Oh,
I mean, that's
landing.
technology at its highest finest.
Yeah, I thought it were amazing. Anyway, I'm going to try and play this and hopefully it records.
So the moon landing is probably just a
Brad
discernment
had its
thing.
spinal cord cut in two at C5, totally cut in half. Then we put one drop of a 1% solution of graphene nanoribbons and polyethylene glycol in that gap, and the rat starts walking again after 2 weeks. In the first 2 weeks, her brain was remapping the connections. And then after that, the rat can get up and walk, scored an 18 out of 21 on a mobility scale. And now you see the rat after 3 weeks and scores a 19 out of 21 on a mobility scale, 21 being the optimal mobility. And this rat can do quite well. And you see how this rat even tries to run away. This rat has had its spinal cord cut in two.
You can see how they can sell that, though. And to be fair, if it could fix a human spinal column, you can see the good side. But that's what they always do, drag you in with the reason they make, like the need to make a robot. Make a robot dog or a neural link drilled inside you is because they're trying to help people, of course.
Yeah. But it's same with Neuralink, isn't it? The Neuralink is there that's for people, say, with Parkinson's disease or something like that. But in reality, they don't force you to have these things like they didn't force us to have, but they're going to take things away if you don't have it. And that's the difference, isn't it? Whereas we aren't concerned of them taking things away. Most people are.
No, but also, Dom, I've mentioned this before. I've asked numerous younger people if they'd have the I've mentioned the Neuralink. Have you heard of it? Some of them say yes, some say no. And I explain that they want to drill a puck size out of your skull and put the internet into your head. And most of them say, yeah, I'd have it. And I was actually quite surprised. A few of them went, I'd have to do some more tests, but I'd probably have it eventually.
Well, that comes back to Matt's bite out of the apple, doesn't it?
That is the ultimate.
That is the ultimate, isn't it? The ultimate taking away of not just your sovereignty, but your soul. Once they implant that into you, you're fucked. Basically, you don't exist anymore.
Well, for one, society, it's social engineering, of course, cultural engineering. Everything's been engineered, but people look up to these celebrities like it's celebrity worship. Mm. And if you know about energy and giving your energy to people, it's like idol worship, and it's very slippery slope. And people, they love Elon Musk. They worship this guy. And even though I think they're divorced now, but he marries this Grimes lady and she sells her soul in an art exhibit. Like, how gruesome is that? And then they have this child, and the child, Ion Flux 247, whatever his stupid name is, this child, okay, is going to be the poster child for transhumanism because no other parent would do it. And why would somebody put a chip in their head? It's ego. The ego is being totally stoked there. I think, I forget exactly whose podcast it was. Maybe it was Elon Musk on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about Neuralink, and they're saying that it would be like being a god. So you throw that at people that have no self-esteem. You know, these people, like, just look at this app culture where people take a Snapchat photo and they can give themselves a facelift, a nose job, take away their blemishes, and then they post that and they get all these likes. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not even you. Okay. Your ego is so stoked in all these little technological ways. And now someone gives you the opportunity to put a little plant in your brain. People don't have any recognition of self. If people could grasp how amazing it is to have an identity, to be an individual, and to go inside and internal and find that self. I've been doing a lot of, it's a deeper story, but I've been doing a lot of meditation, especially with candlelight. And these beeswax candles, if you go deep, there's so much that we don't know, you guys. Like, we walk this waking life, and then we go to sleep, and we're like, oh, I was just dreaming. There's this spiritual aspect of an astral world, an astral realm. When we go to sleep, our soul can check out, and there's all this. I've been reading Rudolf Steiner and doing a lot of deeper research. The distraction here, I'll just go into this really quick about the transhumanism is really fascinating. So believe it whatever you want, but it seems like we have like a soul, like a higher self. And that higher self has like puppet strings, is kind of helping us live our lives out here. All right. Maybe our soul resides in our body when we're waking, and maybe it goes out and travels when we're sleeping. But whatever it is, there's like a higher self in a higher realm, like pulling these puppet strings for our earth body. And the ego does not want us to grasp this and to break this threshold and to go on to higher realms. The ego wants us stuck down here. And the ego even lives on after we die, I think. It like moves on to future lives if we continue here, you know,
like karma,
whatever the heck. Yeah, the ego's not really that good in the whole scheme of things, if you think about it from a spiritual perspective. But what happens is the powers that be, the occult, those evil boardrooms, one of those people at the evil boardroom, they understand and grasp spirituality and this deep occult knowledge. And to stoke the ego beyond, it's just this beyond stoking of the ego, technology comes in, and instead of having this ascension where your body goes bottom up, and this bottom up understanding, because it's this top down, like pulling of the strings, now your ego is going to be able to pull the strings for like a transhumanism body. Oh, the movie. So we're talking about these different dystopian movies, and we're going to do a show on that. Hopefully I watched this movie with Bruce Willis, Surrogates.
Yeah.
Oh, seen that. Gosh, yeah, you guys yeah. seen that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a dystopian future.
And look what happened to Bruce Willis. Hmm. What's happened to Bruce Willis?
That's a story. Yeah. What do you think? Okay.
And he, Andy signed off his, didn't he sign off
his image? Yeah.
His image. Right. So that it could carry on, you know, in his death.
Yeah. I think they made an advert in Japan with him, but you know, so you know, like now they can do CGI, make someone younger or older or whatever, and they can use a dead person. And I think I heard what's her name, Sean Young, saying that she'd sold her image for the new Blade Runner film,
wow.
And she didn't even realize what she'd signed, so she didn't even know if that was going to be used when she died.
You got to sign in blood or what?
Yeah. Invisible Imagine Link. That. Yeah. Who gets them royalties? I mean, what? That's, you've got a free film star, haven't you?
Okay, so very straight question. Do you think that Bruce Willis has gone and lost his mind from MK Ultra, from seeing too much because he's a good person, or from like selling his soul or something else?
I think he's been MK Ultra'd. I've seen him on a few shows where he just talking absolute gobbledygook.
You said you saw him on a charity show, didn't you? Where he was talking gaga, and he was on a British BBC. Was it the 6 o'clock show or something like that?
Yeah, he's talking about sandwiches and stuff.
Honestly, he lost it. He Britney Spears'd it.
Yeah, Britney Spears'd it.
Yeah.
He lost it. And that was a few years ago. That wasn't like recently. That was before all this 2020 nonsense came out.
I don't know. It made in my heart of hearts, I can't help but feel a bit of sympathy for him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's an absolute knob. I don't know.
Yeah, but I
was going to say that too.
Yeah, yeah, it could be a total dick for all we know. But I mean, they're not all total dicks, are they? Let's face it.
Well, no, there's humans out in there somewhere.
I'd say the majority of them are all right. They're just lost. They're bought up into their image and things like this. However, they do then get dragged in. The more deals they make, the higher up that Faustian bargain, the deeper that contract becomes, the smaller the print becomes. They don't read it, and you sacrifice, I'm afraid. And I mean, he was jabbed, I think, weren't he, Bruce Willis? I think he was talking out about getting jabs and all sorts of stuff. So maybe he got one that the controllers wanted him to have.
Maybe he got cloned, and maybe he's just chilling somewhere else too. And that clone is glitching out. Who knows? But in the movie Surrogates, there's you stay home, and then your body is maneuvering a cyborg kind of version, clone version of you out in the world. So now you've got your physical body and your ego is running. It's now pulling the strings as if it's your spirit, and it's pulling the strings for another version of you in this bottom down version. It's like imitating. So basically Satan can't create. The devil can't create. So it just has to imitate. He can only imitate and pervert God's creations.
On the side note there, Matt, if you think about it, all of these massive venture capitalist companies, right, are all run by bean counters, accountants, and they can't create anything. They steal ideas off people who come up with creative ideas. Just like artists, they generally don't earn the money from their paintings or what have you. They get stitched up, and their art makes money when they die, and it's generally owned by Saatchi and Saatchi or someone like that. And it's the same thing, isn't it? Because these are controlled by this parasite, this Prometheus parasite or whatever it is.
I've often said to you, Tom, is it the fact, were they waiting for an invention before they did the big eugenics cult? So they're using the creative people to come up with an invention like, I don't know, chatbot or whatever the hell it is, or the iPhone or whatever. And then they're like, we've got it. Now we can do the cult now because we've got what we needed.
Well, again, the investment...
Maybe we haven't even seen it yet.
Well, the investment into companies, Chris, is done. For argument's sake, let's just say we've got a fantastic business idea, but it doesn't fit in with what they want to invest in. Not necessarily the business, but the direction of the business. So if you said, I've got this business idea and it helps with climate change, oh, we'll invest in you. But if it hasn't got that climate change bit in, but then they steer you to this climate change because they've invested money into that business. So you've got to go down that road. And that's why Amazon and all these other companies were funded to death. They'd have never survived. Tens of billions of dollars chucked into them for nothing. They're just all CIA operations, clearly. But anyway, sorry, we digressed then. Matt went off on another tangent.
Well, I've got another thing. And you see where I'm going with that. It's the exact opposite of spiritual ascension. It's a descension into a lower vibration, like the creation of hell on earth is what we may be witnessing if we don't stand up and do something. You mentioned the chat GP, Chris, the chat GP, whatever this thing is, the AI.
Yeah,
this AI, I like to really get in these evil boardrooms and see what they're up to. I do these deep meditations thinking about where could they possibly be going with this. I found on social media, so I'm on Facebook, I've got about 80,000 followers. People are sending me lots of stuff on the social media platforms and all that. I'm on TikTok, Telegram.
I won't be able to cope with all them people.
So check it out. Here's what I see the writing on the wall. Okay, so there's Instagram influencers that have hundreds of thousands of followers and they're sexy, voluptuous robots. So they're like, I'm an AI bot, but these are my pictures of made through AI. So if you've been following crypto, there's thousands, tens of thousands of different cryptocurrencies out there now. Tens of thousands of them. Unchecked, going up, thousands of percentages. AI computers are coming out with cryptos. They know how people work. They know how to promote and market these certain things to people. They know who's going to chomp. They have all these profiles on people. The AI does. So AI is coming out with stuff, including currencies, cryptos, and getting rich. So there's AI computers out there with money, number one. There's AI out there with profiles, pretending to be real people. And what we're going to have is the biggest false flag humanity's ever seen, I think, is what we're going to end up with, is the AI is going to get so crazy. Hyphy is a word from the San Francisco Bay Area. I hope you guys can use that one over there. The AI is going to get so hyphy. You're like deer in the headlights. we got words too. What do you know about it?
Yeah.
The AI is going to get so crazy that it's going to hack bank accounts, hack power grids. And the government who's pretending to be like, oh, I can't believe this. Because the CIA is letting this thing out. The CIA created this thing years ago in a lab. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, how are we going to do this? Oh, well, we're going to launch it at the specific time when everyone's vulnerable in between the different lockdowns. And we're going to say, oh no, we got to change the system now because we need to know your identity before you get on the internet because of all these bots running around. They can go on the Silk Road and these other black market things and drop their cryptocurrencies and put hits out on people. Like the bots can do anything now. And once they start like raiding people's bank accounts and people get all worried about that, they're going to make it, mark my words, you have to show an identification to get on the internet of some sort. It can be your QR code on your phone. It can be a retinal scan, or maybe your palm has a unique palm print. Eventually it'll be the mark of the beast, but they got to slowly spoon feed it to us. And then we get the chip or whatever it is, the tattoo, QR code on our wrist or whatever it may be. Right. So this AI thing, they're letting this beast out so that they can create this problem, to create a reaction, to create a solution. The solution will be digital currency, all linked to the social credit system that they'll have all nicely ramped out for us with all the cameras and all that nonsense. They're rolling out. So this can segue into the fires. They're rolling out their social credit systems in all these little smart cities. They're releasing all these lists where they want to make smart cities all around the world, especially in Canada, the UK, and some of these cities in the US. And then the places that won't just like bow down and rebuild, there's these coincidental fires happening. And let's talk about the fires. Okay, so in Maui,
just before we get into that, we will get into the fires. Yeah. We were talking about Bitcoin, weren't we, Chris?
I really understand, to be honest.
It's not necessarily Bitcoin, but where it came from. And the name of the guy that set it up, Satoshi Nakamoto. That's this Scarlet Pimpernel that nobody's ever seen before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But his name actually translates to Central Intelligence.
No way.
In Japanese. I've had it actually checked. Yeah, his name. You can't even make this stuff up. Nobody's ever seen this guy. Nobody's met him. Yeah. Yet Bitcoin, his actual name means Central Intelligence. A guy emailed us in after we did the show, Chris, and his other half is half Japanese. And even though she's not into what he's into, she read it for him and actually wrote it in Japanese for us and translated it and said, yeah, it does mean Central Intelligence.
Wow.
So it is right that. And yeah, it was anyway very interesting.
Just another point as well, Matt.
Operations just taking the piss.
Isn't it funny that this all this stuff in the media about AI has come out after they've just, I don't know what Terminator they're on, but they've been selling us that story, like Terminator 8 or whatever. They've been selling us that story that AI is going to, you know, do whatever to the world. Mm-hmm. And when you think that, do you think there is actually artificial intelligence, or do you think the secret is in the word artificial intelligence? So it's not, it's just a data collection. It's not a sentient, it's not an intelligent being, is it? It's just
a computer
gathered loads of data and is using information to do the next step or to translate into wherever. But they're selling it as if it's like a sentient...
An uncontrollable monster.
Yeah. But they've told us that, haven't they? That's what they've been telling us for 30, 40 years, that this uncontrollable monster is going to come. And then it can do, like you just said, Matt, take over everything.
It's total nonsense, bullocks. They want us to be in this like fear-based space, right? So that we bow to it. It's a quantum computer that has a lot of data that they just keep feeding data and are giving their power to. The powers that be would rather listen to the quantum computer than take their own intuition into line. I swear when I heard the word anal swabs, I was like, that's a quantum computer. It wants to see the feedback loop. It wants to see how we react. How is humanity going to react to that? Who's going to react? How and what? And it just got put into the feedback system so that they could know how to react next time. You mentioned the India moon landing, because all this stuff is connected. Okay. So I am reminded the quote that I like to rattle off. You can either take truth as the authority or take authority as truth. So you can take authority as truth or truth as authority. It's up to you. So you can honor truth and live that resonance, or you can just believe what the authority tells you. And what's interesting is what's being created is this polarized dualistic society where you either get spoon-fed and believe anything the official narrative tells you, or you question the official narrative. There's two coins. Question the official narrative, which sadly we're a minority, it seems. Maybe it's growing. It seems to be growing a lot with all the BS. Mm-hmm. And then you just believe the official narrative no matter what. And like, what do you mean? Why would India fake it? So why would India do a moon landing that looks so bad?
I'm laughing.
Dude, Bollywood.
Yeah.
My own backyard. Yeah. Anybody could make better CGI than that. So why? Why would they come out with a moon landing so bad? I think it's an attack on consciousness. It's an attack on discernment. And we're going to go into a world where we really need that tool of discernment. I mean, we needed it a couple years ago when we had a 99.98% survival rate and people were covering their faces with polytetrafluoroethylene, which is fluoride. They were putting a fluoride one-time use medical surgeon mask on their face, totally disregarding discernment. And it seems to me like there's an attack on discernment to create this segment of the populace that just bows to authority and does whatever you say and thinks whatever you say. And so you show it some Sega Genesis horrible graphics. And the memes coming out of it are really fantastic. I got this one that I just shared. It said, space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Bollywood basement. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it shows the their little space invaders. Coming down. It's bad. It's horrible.
So bad. Yeah.
What does it do? Imagine you're the person that's eating Doritos or whatever. You know, you're the fatty knobhead. What do they call you? The fatte knobhead. If you're sitting around, you know, like being unhealthy and listening and just being like, oh, the queen died. Queen is done. You get the queen tattooed on your neck or whatever, right? You, the knobhead that is, I don't know how you're listening to this. If you're literally believing the moon landing in India is real and you're just eating it all up, Like last time we did a show, I think it was last time we laughed, or no, 2 times ago, we laughed so hard about how NASA literally shoots rocks at people's houses and then shows up and be like, a meteorite came to your house. Can we give you $100,000? And they get them on the news and they get them a trophy and everyone, like the parade and then freaking little town and everyone's just mind control.
That's a moon rock, Matt. It's a moon rock.
Right.
How could you deny it?
Do you know? Did you see the look on when it had the Prime Minister next to the Indian landing? Did you see him with that little flag? We were almost still going, are you actually buying this shit? That's what I read.
But it creates a person that just eats it up. Eats it up, yeah. No matter what. Like, they won't even look outside to see if the bomb has gone off, you know?
They've taken it to the extremes now, right? That they can put something like that on and people will believe it. And it's like a test, isn't it? How many people are going to believe this?
I think they want the divide to be so big that no one's sitting on the fence and the fence is gone and the divide is still there.
That makes the moon landing look real.
It does. It makes our moon landing look real from 50 years ago.
The woman talking on it as well, and now we're going on two boosters. Are you fucking joking? Those little squirts coming out of
we're now officially moving to two boosters.
And then it lands before you expect it to land because there's no shadow under it. You're like, is it going to land? Then it just lands.
It's a 2D picture on a supposed 3D background.
And the moon's out of focus even. Oh, God.
You can't even call that the moon, Chris. You just can't call it. Going back to what you were saying about the quantum computers, this is the D-Wave stuff, isn't it? Do you know the guys that invented the D-Wave? I think it was called Jordy Rose. I don't know if you've come across him. He did a seminar a few years ago saying that the quantum computer was summoning up aliens and demons.
I was going to say that. Get out your Ouija board. Or your pendulum. And if you've ever messed with pendulums or Ouija boards or anything like that, we live in a spiritual world and we're in a spiritual battleground. There is good and evil all around us. And we are just in physicality. We can't see all these things all around us. And we walk around some of us walk around completely oblivious to what's going on. I started to realize that there's a lot. And I could sit there with the Ouija board, for instance, and conjure up a demon and ask it questions about how are people going to react to the anal swab. Probably, is that a demon right there? I could probably also get a computer, like a quantum computer, to get a Ouija board in it and communicate with demons. But this is not artificial, quote, intelligence. This is demonic entities that's being channeled. And then they're doing things to try to mess with humanity. You know what I mean? This isn't like taking input from a computer and doing things that are good. This is channeling spirits and doing evil stuff, right?
If you just move those D-Wave words around a little bit, you get demon, I'm pretty sure.
Probably do. But she this lady that I'm showing a picture of, people won't be able to see it, but it's Professor Susan Gilder. She was co-founder when she worked at D-Wave with Jordy Rose. She's opened a few other stuff as well, all AI type thing. One called Kindred, one called Sanctuary AI, all these things, going back to what Matt was saying. But she actually said that she's got another company, which think it's Sanctuary, that invents robots. And she says that robots have feelings, and she wants laws making for robots.
Give them their own bathroom.
But again, all these people are like... asexual. I'll tell you why I got into this stuff. Mark Devlin sent me something. I don't know if you've heard of Mark Devlin. He sent me something about this lady here, who, as you can tell, she's got a rainbow t-shirt on, and she's asexual, but she's an author of a book. She's called Alice Oseman. Anyway, I won't get into all that, but she's her work has been taken into a series for young people, and it's all about, all the characters in it are asexual. But it's a really popular program at the moment. But you look at these people, and they don't even, going back to what we're saying about the cloning, they don't even look real. And that goes back to what you were just saying about these people on social media now that are setting up these accounts, and it's not even real people that are being paid anymore. Was it that company, Envida? Was it Envida that were coming up with these faces that you could make up in like a photo shoot, say there were a crime going, and you could actually make real people or real-looking people out of just amalgamating loads of different people's faces together. And so now they're bringing characters that don't even exist. We have entered this virtual reality, Total Recall.
We're living it. We're living it firsthand. And, well, what's weird is if you learn about and what it is to be a sexual, it seems like that this whole thing is a worship of Satan.
Yeah.
Of demonic entities and stuff like that. And then, Chris, I wanted to mention, you were talking about the breakdown of words. So we have, do you have Pride Month over there?
I think it's Pride Daily.
So God help us. Yeah. God help us with this Pride Month, okay? Now, I grew up, we didn't have Pride Month, okay? We did not have this thing growing up. No. And this is, and it has become just this, like, it's not even, it's, there's no pride in it. It's the opposite of pride. But look at the word. It's P-R-I, pre, precursor. P-R-I means, like, before, like, the introduction of. And then demon, D-E-M-O-N, and then T-H is like, I looked up T-H, it's like theta, it means like beforehand. Either way, the word broken down really means like introducing demons. It Pride Month, broken down, means pre-demon, T-H, T-H word.
And there down. Was research, weren't there, done on when people read words. You do read all of it. You don't, it might not, when you're processing it, I know they did some work where you would actually read it as that at some point. It's a bit like the subliminal programming where they used to flash words up in the 60s, you know, on in films that you never saw. So when you read something, your brain automatically goes and reads all that stuff like you've just worked out there. So they do know this.
That pride's one of the sins, isn't it? And they're telling you to be proud.
Well, yeah, well, point that out.
And shouting out that you've got to be proud. I mean, basically proud of what? You know,
proud of thinking
you're a cat. What you do in the bedroom and stuff like that. I mean, it didn't make any sense, does it?
No.
I'm sure most gay people would agree that it doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's just been... And they've also made out it's historic, like it's gone on forever, and it hasn't. That's not true, is it? They've put like this historic thing onto it, like, oh, it's always been Pride Month. It hasn't.
It hasn't been Pride Month at all. You can now be 72 different types of sexuality.
Holy jeez. So 72. TH is a suffix that's put on the end of numbers, like 4th and 10th and 12th and 5th,
yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So PR means before, and demon, obviously, and TH is like meaning it can like infinite, like all the numbers, like on all the numbers. So Pride Month means before all the demons.
Right.
Just saying, you know, if that's not a little clear.
But again, like the Bitcoin thing, you know, central intelligence, these things are there for a reason, because they don't think lunatics like us are going to try and work all this stuff out.
Well, it looks like Bitcoin was a, it's like predictive programming and it's normalization. And what they're trying to do is culturally engineer us to being okay with this blockchain technology, because the blockchain will be the digital dollar and how all of that works. And that, again, is like just stuff that's all over our head that was invented by some random Japanese guy that doesn't even exist and all that. But let's get to the fires, because I think that's important stuff.
Yeah, we're coming into the second hour. Believe it or not, we're coming into the second hour.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Just one more film. I watched something on the plane. I downloaded it. I never do that normally. Downloaded it, watched it on a little screen. Dune. Chris has been getting me to watch it. The new one.
Oh, did you see it, Matt? Dune?
No, I did. I don't know if Matt.
I'm asking Matt if he saw it.
No, I have not seen that one yet. Yeah. Should I?
Well, it's a famous science fiction book from the 60s. 60s, I think, 50s. And they just made it into a film. But they've filmed half the book and they're doing the second half. You know the one that David Lynch did with the big worms in it?
Tremors.
One? It's an old 80s film. They did Dune in the 80s. They've redone it. But I really enjoyed it. It's one of the only films I've really enjoyed for quite a long time.
When we're saying Dune, we mean D-U-N-E, by the way.
Yeah, D-U-N-E.
Not June as in the month.
Yeah, D-U-N-E. You must have seen it. You must have heard of it, mate. It was a massive film a few years ago.
Yeah, anyway, it was a good, very good film.
Yeah,
well very done. Well done, yeah. But and it shows a lot of things in there anyway. That's what I'd say. All right. We won't waste any time if you haven't seen it then. Right, let's get on about
No, tell me.
What were your point? Anyway, Adam.
No, for me, I don't watch films like Chris does now. I mean, I used to watch them, but Chris is really into films like you sound like you are. But now when you watch them, you're looking for the nuances, aren't you, in there? Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a right lot, I would say, in there for a film that actually annoyed me.
Yeah.
Can't really say I saw anything, which is
well. There's a bit. It was a lot of the grounding of it was about war. It's in the future, obviously in space. It was about war in bloodlines, really.
Yeah, exactly. But there wasn't anything in there that was like, you know, it had to be had one transvestite in it or something.
No, there were none of that. There were none of that. They stuck very closely to the book. But one of the interesting aspects of the book is and the film is that they've outlawed computers, so no one's allowed to have a computer. So it's in the future, written in the 60s, and he's already come up with the idea that computers are outlawed. And if one thing I did find interesting was, remember that guy, and he asked him a question. So he's got some kind of implant in his head.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
And his eyes just go white, and he goes, and he just comes out with the answer. So he's like an information bot, I suppose, if you like. So there was a few interesting little bits in it, but mainly war in bloodlines, I'd say.